Bill Roth joining us on a Tuesday night. My apologies, he won't be in Richmond until Thursday, but he's here with us now. And Bill, before the break, I was bringing up the return of Antoine Exum, how he'll get back in there. And I wondered at the beginning part of the show, at the top of the 3 o'clock hour, how, like a lot of people, how this would all work. And we find out from BeamerBall.com that we could have Brandon Faison getting some time on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, it depends on how well Exum returns and how quickly he can play. But if he can come back and play well at corner, then they're going to give Brandon a look on the offensive side of the ball. It's a really weird quandary to have because those corners are playing so well. And Exum, of course, is an all-ACC corner himself. So they've got great depth at that position and clearly a need at receiver. And in high school, Faison was a dynamic receiver. And he's already shown us this year he's got a knack for making some tough catches. So I think this is sort of a work in progress, and it's an experiment. We'll see how it goes.
It's an experiment. Do they start the experimentation this week, or is that just kind of up in the air to see how we get further in the week closer to the North Carolina game?
Yeah, I think they could be sending a message to the receivers, too, and that is time to really step up. But, you know, the next three opponents can really throw the ball and sling it around, and you may need to have a nickel defense in there, and if Trimble's still hurt, you have Kyle Fuller can play the whip linebacker spot, and you could have Faison on the field as your nickel back, and have Exum and Kendall Fuller out there too. So you may need them all on defense, is what I'm trying to get across. I think they're just looking at some different options here to see how things might play out.
Is the possible option that he continues to work for both sides of the ball?
Well, that just came out today, and they just got on the practice field, so it would be happening right now as we speak. I think the first thing they have to see is when they turn Exum loose at full speed, is he ready to play? That would be the big question mark coming into at least Saturday's game.
Let me go back to last Thursday night's game. What are the guttier performances I've seen all year in sports where a team comes off a triple overtime win and a rough one against Marshall and then turns in a performance like we saw on Thursday night? The defense was spectacular. What did you take away from both sides of the ball in that contest?
I think they're a tough, gritty, hard-nosed football team. I don't know that they're the most skilled team. We're halfway through the season almost now. It's not the most skilled team, or at least maybe I should say it this way, experienced skill. You don't know how good those freshman running backs and receivers are going to be by the time they're juniors and seniors. So maybe you can't say talent. But what they're winning with and how they're winning is grinding it out. They're just making the play. They're making great fourth down stops. They're coming up with strips. They're blocking kicks when a field goal in overtime beats you. They're punting the ball on the 5-yard line with 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter on the road up by a touchdown. They're just finding ways to make plays to win. Their stats offensively are not good. They missed another field goal, but they're tough. You know, Logan was hurt. He had the abdomen. Byrne got hurt, comes back out and plays, doesn't miss a series. You can really, the offensive line, guys are getting their shoulders separated and coming back in and playing. I mean, they are a tough football team. So that's my takeaway.
You brought up David Wang, Logan Thomas, and the Paperboy. How are three doing?
They're all banged up. It's an interesting group. They're sore. Logan yesterday was in a boot, and his abdomen was hurt. But he'll be out there in practice and gutting it out, and he'll be good to go on Saturday. He was hurt in the Marshall game and the Georgia Tech game, and he came out there against the Jackets and completed his first 9 passes. And maybe he needs to be hurt more often. But you're right, it was one of the guttier performances. And now they've got 3 games in a row at home, and hopefully they'll be able to take a step forward offensively.
Bill Roth joining us in the Cowan Gates Roth Report, looking back on last Thursday. Let's look ahead to this North Carolina. And North Carolina right now is a team that's sitting at 1-3, and the way that I'm describing them as they're licking their wounds, and they're either going to be a wounded animal ready to fight, or this could be a game where they just get torn to shreds. Doesn't seem like happy times in Chapel Hill.
You know, I think it was an interesting game, and it showed you what happens when ECU gets going because they're really good offensively, and Carolina had no answers. But if you look at their statistics, Carolina's given up 235 yards a game passing and 460 yards a game overall. That's not good. And maybe this is the tonic the Hokies need to play a team that's really struggling. On the other side of the ball, though, this is a team that really torched Virginia Tech a year ago for 48 points. So I know Bud, the next two opponents, Bud is very excited about a rematch against both UNC and Pitt.
And they're not hiding it. Just listening to some of the vocabulary that Frank Beamer was using yesterday, they're not hiding it. They really do remember what happened last year in Chapel Hill.
It was an embarrassing game. Tech gave up a ton of yards. They gave up a touchdown on a kickoff return. It was actually a game that the Hokies offense played pretty well, scored 34 points. And it's very infrequent that a Beamer coach team scores that many points and loses. But that happened last year. But what was interesting, Wes, is right after that game, that was the sixth game of the season last year. And right after that game, the Hokies turned it around. And so the last six games of last season and the first five of this year, this defense has been really good. They've been better than really good. They've been elite in these last 11 games. As long as they stay healthy, they're going to carry this team.
Can you put it in context what you're seeing right now in terms of you've seen 25, 26 years of great football there. You've seen some great defensive players, great defensive units. Can you put in context what you're seeing right now from this defense?
I think it's one of the more veteran defenses that we've had. And you saw that, by the way, last Thursday night. All those guys, it was their third game against Georgia Tech. They knew it was coming, and they kind of understood how to stop it. It's still kind of early. We're just five games in. Let's revisit the exact same question after they play 11 or 12 games, because that's really the best litmus test. Because if you take a look back at the great defenses in Tech history, it's over a 12-game stretch, not five. And, you know, this team's doing a great job. They're averaging just over 2 yards per rush defensively, which is great. They lead the nation in interceptions. They've got a ton of hurries and a ton of sacks. But it's just five games. And so let's see what happens after they play 12.
All right. Hokies, North Carolina Tar Heels coming up. Is 12:30 on Saturday?
12:30 Saturday, but we will be in Richmond Thursday night for the tip-off event with Coach Johnson and Coach Wolf, Mike Burnup, and Andrew Allegretta, and I will be flying down there on Thursday afternoon. We hope to see a lot of Hokies out at the event, richmondhokieclub.org. For more details.
And Coach Johnson will be joining Hokie Steve and the Big Cat coming up at 6:30 tonight on the show. And I will see you in Blacksburg on Saturday, my friend.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it.
You got it. Bill Roth joining us in the Cowan Gates Roth Report each and every Tuesday right here on Sports Radio 910.